ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, entitled Puranjana Becomes a Woman in Next Life, text number 60. Natvam vidarpa duhita, nayam vira suhurtava, napadistvam puranjanya, rudho navmukhe yaya, नत्वं विदर्भ दुहिता नायं वीरः सुहृत्तवा नापदिस्त्वं पुरञ्जन्या रुद्धो नवमुखे यया। नत्वं विदर्भ दुहिता नायं वीरः सुहृत्तवा नपदिस्त्वं पुरञ्जन्या रुद्धो नवमुखेयया। ना नॉट त्वं यू विदर्भ दुहिता डॉटर ऑफ विदर्भा। ना नॉट आई एम दिस वीरः हीरो सुहृत् well-wishing husband. Tava, your. Na, not. Padihi, husband. Tvam, you. Puranjanyaha, oh Puranjani. Ruddha, captured. Navmukhe, in the body having nine gates. Yaya, by the material energy. Actually, you are not the daughter of Vidarbha, nor is this man, Male Dhaja, your well-wishing husband, nor were you the actual husband of Puranjani. You were simply captivated in this body of nine gates. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. In the material world, many living entities come into contact with one another and increasing their attachment to a particular type of body, become related as father, husband, mother, wife, etc. Actually, every living entity is a separate individual being, and it is because of his contact with matter that he becomes together with other bodies and becomes falsely related. False bodies create various associations in the name of family, community, society, and nationality. Actually, every living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the living entities are overly engrossed in the material body. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, appears and gives instructions in the form of Bhagavad Gita and Vedic literatures. The Supreme Lord gives these instructions because He is the eternal friend of the living entities. His instructions are important because by them the living entity can obtain liberation from bodily engagement. As water passes down a river, many straws and grasses are carried from the shore. The straws and grasses come together in the river's current, but when the waves toss this way and that, they are separated and carried somewhere else. Similarly, the innumerable living entities within this material world are being carried by the waves of material nature. Sometimes the waves bring them together and they form friendship and relate to one another on a bodily basis of family, community, or nationality. Eventually, they are thrown out of association of the waves of material nature. This process has been going on since the creation of material nature. In this regard, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Singh, Mayara Miche Mayara Veshe Yaksho Veshe Khacha Habudubu Bhai Jiva Krishna Das E Vishwas Korleta Ar Dukhanai. My dear living entities, you are being carried away by the waves of material nature. Sometimes you are on the surface, sometimes you are being drowned in this way, your eternal life is being spoiled. If you simply catch hold of Krishna and take shelter of his lotus feet, you will once again get free from all miserable material conditions. In this verse, the words Suhrut, well-fisher, and Tava, ewer, are very significant. One's so-called husband, relative, son, father, or whatever cannot actually be a well-wisher. The only actual well-wisher is Krishna himself. As Krishna confirms in Bhagavad Gita 5.29, Suhrudam Sarabhutanam, society, friendship, love, and well-wishers are all simply results of being packed in different bodies. One should know this well and try to get out of this bodily encagement into which one is thrown birth after birth. One should take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and return home back to Godhead. Om Jnana Tivranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kriba Sindhubhya Evacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhutair Mahabhir Yaima Pudro Vishu Nirmaya Chedeya Damusha Purusha Bhunte Gunan Shodasha Shodasha Smaga Solankrishishta Bhagavan Vachamsi Me Hare Krishna. Here there is a revelation in this verse. All the truths are being spoken at once. What is not and what is. So here is mentioned that you are not actually the daughter of Vidarbha. No, you were Puranjana in the previous life. You are simply captivated in this body of nine gates. As Srila Prabhupada explains in this purport, this world is a world of attachment. This world is a sticky place. Sometimes, if you are walking on a street which is just recently being built, there is tarred, you know, you can see the tar, the black tar, and you step on with your shoes, you find it very difficult to remove that from your shoes. It is difficult to walk. And even when you are getting out of that, still the shoes is sticky. You may get out of that place, still it is sticky. Similarly, sometimes happens, something gets stuck to our hand. We try to remove, it's just in one finger. We just try to remove with the other finger. What happens? It gets to the other finger. Then slowly and steadily, all the fingers are now sticky. And wherever you touch, you get stuck to it. So this is the nature of this material world. We get stuck to various things of this world.
That's the transfers.
Yes. And another example, if you see some, there are some waters in which could be rivers or ponds. If you get into it, there is really thick mud inside. And people step one leg into it. And as they get into one leg, they can see that they are being sucked in. So, they are sucked a little bit. Probably now water is till the waist. They will try to adjust a little bit to get out. Because the only way one can get out is applying force inside because there is nothing to hold on to, then slowly one finds that one leg is going inside, it is going a little bit more deeper. Then one tries to get out again, pushing the leg, then one finds one, the other leg is also going down. Eventually, one gets to a stage of water is still the neck. And then, can't do anything, eventually, one gets drowned in the water. Everything starts from a little bit. This is the material attachment, it is the material nature. Often, it is said about Maya, in like a pin, out like a plow. This is applicable in terms of material attachment in totality. The same principle applies. Everything starts as a small thing and then it spreads. As we were hearing yesterday, Gangeshwar was quoting Chanakya Pandit. Three things have to be addressed as soon as possible. The first one is fire. Right? Fire. We know we had big bushfires. But it all started with something small. It was contained to some degree. But by the effect of winds, it just goes from one place to the another and it can burn down hundreds of square kilometers of forest and millions of animals. Many years back, there was a forest fire and it was said this forest fire started from a backyard of a house. And it burned hundreds of square kilometers, but just started from backyard, somebody lit a fire and just left it, and from there it all started and hundreds of square kilometers got burned down. So this is material nature. Everything starts from a small innocent thing and then it is widened, it is spread and it becomes a havoc. Same you can see with this virus. It is tiny bit, it is insignificant, but it is started from a few people and it is spread and now it's a calamity. Everyone's life is infected, everyone's life is affected by this one virus. Everything started from very small. So for example, in Australia the cases were 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, you could remember that time, 6 less than 10 cases. But now, it is maybe 700, 800 at least infected cases and few deaths, and it's spreading day by day. So this is material world and this is how the material attachment works. You start from a little bit and then it increases. So Srila Prabhupada, the whole purport is practically dedicated to the nature of attachment and how it is widened, it is spread progressively. The difference is material things we can see. For example, we took the example of stickiness to the hand, a glue or a mud, it could be tar, it could be sticky, it is gross. But attachment is very subtle. It is very subtle because it is part of the subtle body. Since it is very subtle, it is very difficult to control. Just as Krishna says, it's very difficult to control the mind. Means it's very difficult to control the subtle attachment. It's very difficult to control the subtle desires. Because just by sangat sanjayate kamam, just by association, this material desires develop. Because as the senses are in touch with the sense objects, that was maybe two verses before, it was given, there are 5 gardens for enjoyment. 2 verses before it was mentioned. 5 gardens for enjoyment. Taking the analogy of Puranjana, the city, there are 5 gardens. What are those 5 gardens? 5 gardens are the objects of senses. The 5 objects of senses. And that can create unlimited objects. Just 5 combination, it can create unlimited. It is very interesting to see that in Sankhya, where this analysis is primarily Sankhya, in which everything can be presented in a very succinct fashion and from there we can see how everything is derived. So for example, all the enjoyment of this world can be explained by these 5 sense objects. We have things to eat, then there's the sense of touch, In sense of touch, it is so powerful, the sense of touch. All the, or primarily one part of, it's not all, one part of opposite sex attraction is based on the sense of touch. But that is not all and all. That is just one. All other sense objects are coming in that attraction. Not just one. But this is one strong one. Then the sense of smell. You know, people, you know, we are very in tune with the smell. We can very easily distinguish what is fragrant and what is really odd smell, what is weird, what is very dirty, what is intolerable. So this is the sense of smell. Then the touch and the vision, it can cause such an illusion. The vision can cause such an illusion. One is completely captivated by vision. One's intelligence doesn't function. One's mind stops functioning. Completely captivated by vision. Then, of course, eating, we know, the palatable or unpalatable, for us, abominable foodstuffs are causing so much of trouble to this world at this point in time. Right? It's all started from eating abominable stuff. So it is for some kind of enjoyment, at the same time, it is for certain kind of suffering. Then the ears. Hearing is such a big thing. Okay, on a normal level, there are so many industries based on hearing. The whole music industry, all the gadgets, all the technology centered around hearing. Then what is left? Did we cover all the five sense objects? Eyes already covered. The vision, smell, taste, touch, and sound. So this is the whole material existence, this is the whole material enjoyment. And a combination of them can bind us to this material world. This combination, that's enough. So everything is starting from, as it is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, that everything is starting from the attraction between man and woman. That is considered the basis. And from there, everything sprouts from that one single attraction. Everything actually sprouts, and we can see in this world, and everything is centered around that, and that's a big thing in this material world, and nobody is above that. That's why it's called Maithuna Aghara. Maithuna Aghara. Maithuna means the opposite sex attraction, and it's a, one is shackled, and it has many varieties. It can be very subtle, it can be very gross, it can be implicit, it can be explicit, but it is there, it is so strong. It's mentioned Bhagavatam, Pumsa Sriya Maidhini Bhava Metat. This is the beginning. Pumsa Sriya Maidhini Bhava Metat. That's the beginning. Then, Tasyor Mitho Hridaya Granthirahu. Then what happens? That is Atho Gdha Kshetra Sutapta Vittayat Janasya Mohoyam Ahamma Meti. So that is the beginning of this verse. That is the beginning. So then it is expanding. Just like we get sticky to this world, different things in it, it's expanding. One to the next, and then one is completely stuck here and can't do anything. The same thing happens to our consciousness. When the material desires are lingering in our mind, and if we water those desires, how do we water our desires? Just think about it more. Fantasies. Think about it, okay. If this happens, okay, it will be good. Then next. When we expand upon these fantasies, what's happening? We are being more and more caught in these material desires. And it will come to a stage that one cannot contain in oneself. Rather, it has to come out as speech. It has to come out of action. And one is more fit to this world. One becomes more fit to this world. Currently one was trying to be aloof from this, but now more fit to this world. Okay, we are part of this. We want to live in this world. Want to have material enjoyment. So containing is very important. First is to contain. Just like the virus or the fire, one has to contain. Okay, I want to control. To contain, one has to control. So that is the beginning. And then one can see, okay, it is under control. Then one can practice bhakti properly. Without that, we cannot practice bhakti properly. So it is like, we need to control the emotions Why do we need to control the emotions? We need to control the emotions so that, or in other words, we need to discriminate so that we can practice bhakti. Without controlling our emotions, we cannot practice bhakti. And when we practice bhakti, then we get real emotions. So generally, as it is mentioned, the intelligence is superior to the mind, so we are using intelligence, discrimination, to control our emotions so that we can practice bhakti. And with that, one can get the real emotions for Krishna. So that is the whole idea. One need real emotions for Krishna. And that is exemplified in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is a rasa shastra, and in Srimad Bhagavatam is about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and also about His devotees. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, devotees are presenting their pure emotions for Krishna. For example, in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, chapter 1, Maharaj Parikshit is further questioning to Shukadev Goswami. Here we have to understand that Shukadev Goswami is Bhagavata Pradhan. He is best among devotees. Similarly, Maharaj Parikshit is Vishnu Rataha. Vishnu Rat means one who is being protected by Vishnu himself personally. So here the question and the answer are given in such a way that they are very instructive and they are very inspirational. Parikshit Maharaj, he says, I have no thirst, I have no hunger, I am not feeling any tiredness at all. So please continue speaking about Krishna. Here the point is, in the beginning of Bhagavatam, apparently Maharaj Parikshit was completely captured by thirst and hunger and tiredness. The whole Bhagavatam came about because of this one reason. He was completely captured by thirst and hunger, and he was completely tired. And because of that, he felt offended because he was not received by the sage in his meditational stage. So now he is telling, no, he is completely out of it. He is completely on the spiritual platform. So Shukadev Goswami, don't feel that I am tired, so you know, I'll speak a bit less. No, please speak elaborately about Krishna. And he is on the platform of prema, his platform of pure love. So he cannot contain himself. So that is another nature of love for the Lord, affection for the Lord, that one cannot contain oneself. The material infection cannot contain in itself. The material dangers cannot be contained in itself. Material desires cannot be contained in itself. Similarly, the spiritual desires and spiritual affection and spiritual love cannot be contained. It is pouring out from the heart of a devotee. So Maharaj Parikshit, when he even starts speaking, even in the first verse of the first chapter of 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, okay, kindly speak something about the descendants who are coming from the dynasties of moon and the sun. He says, Soma Suryoho. Soma means the moon and Surya means the sun, both dynasties. That have been the discussion going on in the previous canto. Then Srila Prabhupada explains that usually we say sun and the moon. But he reversed the order. Soma Suryoho. Why? Because he had so much of affection for Krishna. So he wanted to hear more about Krishna. So he wanted to speak first about the Soma dynasty, the moon dynasty. Then what did Parikshit Maharaj do? He started further asking that, I am not satisfied enough hearing about Krishna. I have been waiting for all this time. So hearing so many thousands of verses so far, starting from descendants of Swayambhuva Manu, given in the fourth canto. So Parikshit Maharaj is waiting eagerly. He has heard about Krishna before. He has heard about everything. That's why the questioning also, he asked specific questions. Like, why did Krishna kill Kamsa? Even though he is his maternal uncle and it is not sanctioned by the scriptures, why did he kill Krishna? What are the pastimes he performed in Vrindavan? How did he go to Mathura? What are the pastimes he performed? How many wives he married to? How many children he had? So he asked very specific question. And the question itself shows that he knew about this pastime and he had heard them before. But now, he couldn't contain himself. So he is asking, explain more about Krishna. And then Parikshit Maharaj again asks that if Krishna was present, or Balaram was first present in the womb of Devaki and then in the womb of Rohini, so how the whole thing took place? Who transferred Balaram from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini Devi? So how this happened? So he asked everything very specifically. He's not just asking and just leaving it. But he's telling, I am asking some questions, and even if I don't ask these questions, even if I haven't asked all the questions, still you explain everything in detail. So Parikshit Maharaj is very careful about his questioning. That is, I want to get the answer for all my questions and also for the questions which I haven't asked about Krishna. Please explain everything. So he was so eager to hear about Krishna. So his love for the Lord is coming out. And of course, Sukadeva Goswami was very much satisfied to hear that. So he narrates the whole 10th canto in answer to these questions. So this is amazing how when there is a perfect inquirer and a perfect speaker are present, the Krishna Katha goes to a different level altogether. Both are inspired, both are inspiring one another to hear about Krishna. And it is mentioned, such Krishna Katha can remove all material desires from the heart. And one will be completely in tune with Krishna. So this is our aim in our Krishna consciousness, that our material desires are going down and our spiritual desires are going up. For that, we need Krishna Katha. Srila Prabhupada makes a very wonderful point that even simply hearing about Krishna is so wonderful. So, what to speak about doing some service for Krishna? This is Prabhupada's realization in the purport. Even speaking about Krishna is so wonderful, because the whole purport and the whole verses are about Krishna Katha, the glories of Krishna Katha. Then how wonderful it is doing some personal service to Krishna. And in Krishna consciousness movement, we have this wonderful opportunity to serve Krishna. And we can see now we are being restricted from many services. We are being restricted from physical access to the temple because the temple is shut. Now devotees will not take it for granted. We feel it is very valuable for us to do some service. It is so valuable for us to take darshan of the Lord. It is so valuable for us to chant along with the devotees. Even for who are residing within the temple, we can see it is wonderful to have all the devotees here. Because then there are more devotees to hear, there are more devotees to chant, there are more devotees to sing and dance. So we can see the power of association. So what happens when nothing is there? The association are taken away to some degree. The deities are taken away to some degree. Right? Prasadam from the temple is taken away to some degree. So what is left with? We had to take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. We can hear. We can hear. Take shelter of hearing and chanting. That becomes a main process. Whatever little association one may have, one can take that. Eventually that may also be taken away. That things how it is going, you know, one has to be restricted, confined to one place, then one has to take shelter of hearing and chanting. And this is actually a preparation. This is a preparation. Because ultimately, we are all flying our own flight. Bhagavatam first canto, Srila Prabhupada gives this analogy, that we are all flying our own flight. We can get trained, we can have big academies where we get trained, we can have many instructors, we can be given so many instructions, etc. But when the time of test comes, we are by ourselves. We may not be able to hold our initiation bead. We cannot hold our initiation bead because the hand is not functioning properly. We don't have anything. We may have association of the devotees, may not. But one is rightly living in oneself. So then the question comes, what is our shelter? What are we going to do now? Then the only shelter is the holy name. The only shelter is whatever remembrance we have from Srimad Bhagavatam. We don't have any other shelter. We'll all come to that point where we don't have any other shelter. Then we have to prepare ourselves now. That is, how can we develop some real taste to hear about Krishna? How can we develop some real taste to chant Krishna's names? We need to develop that. And this is a serious business. One has to invest for that. One has to spend some time for that. And it is not so easy because we are so distracted by so many different things in our life. We will not be able to focus on something. It becomes so difficult. But that absorption is required at least for some time on a daily basis. Where sometime, okay, take away our mobile phones, go to a place one doesn't get disturbed, sit for some time, try to get absorbed in Krishna. In the holy name, in Srimad Bhagavatam. That training is required. Then what happens? If you are absorbed at least for some time, when we get on with our daily life, it could be work, it could be study, it could be our service, we will be able to absorb in those activities in a better way. Smartavya satatam Vishnu vismartavya na jatuji sarva vidhi nishedhayo etayo evakinkara. This is not talking about prema bhakti. This is not talking about bhava bhakti. This is not talking about raganika bhakti. This verse is for sadhana bhakti, even at the stage of vaidhi. That is, in the regulated devotional service, what one is meant to do with regulation is always thinking about Krishna. So it's a serious business. Think about it. Always think about Krishna. How long? Really think about ourselves. How long do we really think about Krishna? In 24 hours, okay, forget the time we are sleeping. We are given a break. Okay, that's alright. Whatever happens, happens. But other times, how long are we actually Krishna conscious? This is a question we need to ask for ourselves. I don't want to ask anyone, nor am I going to tell myself at this point. It's difficult. So, we need to have the practice. The whole absorption in Krishna consciousness, everything is meant to come to the point where we can actually think about Krishna and we can do service, sadhana, whatever, thinking about Krishna. Krishna is in the mind. Bhagavad Gita, Mam anusmara yuddhecha, mai arpita mano buddhir mamai vaishyasya samshayam. Mam anusmara yuddhecha, think about me. Manmanam abhavam bhakto. Everything is leading to that. So that's why Shravanam Kirtanam has to lead to Vishnu Smaranam. And we have to take practical steps towards that. It's a natural process, but we have to take practical steps towards that. And if not, we are actually missing out and we will not be able to make progress in Krishna consciousness. Progress in Krishna consciousness is not automatic. It is by choice. Certain things we do automatically. Like we know we had to chant 16 rounds. So we get on with our beats. We just somehow or other chant our 16 rounds. If we are rostered for our services, we just do it, finish it. This looks like automatic because we are used to it. We just get on with that and we get it done. But the real progress in Krishna consciousness is not just going to act with such mechanical devotional service. It is good, but it's not enough. So what is that guiding principle? Guiding principle is, are we able to think about Krishna? Are our attempts in Krishna consciousness leading to remembering Krishna? When we come to that point, then we start to think, what am I doing in my life? What am I doing after getting up? Is it my mechanical obeisance to the spiritual master? Or are we thinking about the Lord, to the spiritual master? Step by step, we had to analyze ourselves. And we had to take necessary action so that at least frequently we are thinking about Krishna. Satatam may not happen immediately, it will not happen. Even in commentary to the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's again the verse speaking about sadhana bhakti. Sukadeva Goswami speaks in the second canto, in the second chapter, akuto bhayam. That is the nature of sadhana bhakti. Akuto bhayam means to get rid of all the fears of this world. The world is full of fear, as you know. Now also there is a big fear, panic is going on. Janma mrtyu jara vyadhi, panic is going on at this point. So it's a place of fear, and in sadhana bhakti it's all right to have fear, because that I'll be captured by this material energy, I'll be captured by maya. So that is the motivation for sadhana bhakti. Why the sadhana bhakti motivation is fear. And when one advances, fear is not the motivation, love is the motivation, affection is the motivation. So now it is okay to have fear of material energy, good to have fear for material energy. So then it is mentioned, satatam word is used. Shrodavya kirtadavyascha smartavyascha akuto bhayam. So it is mentioned, for in our conditioned state, we cannot think about Krishna all the time. But on a regulated fashion, we can. So these are our opportunities to think about Krishna on a regulated fashion. Morning program, services, reading, then sharpen our consciousness, mind, intelligence to be Krishna conscious. If you don't do that, we will not be able to make progress. We can come back. Maybe ISKCON will be there for another few thousands of years. 10,000 years, golden period. So we can come back. Morning we will get Khichdi, for sure. Khichdi will be there, Mahasweets will be there. But we had to come back. So in bhakti, this is a very important point. It's not just automatic, but we had to make our choice to make progress. And whatever is necessary, we had to do it. And it is not very difficult to understand what is necessary, because we know very clearly where we are lacking. So take steps. At this point, maybe we may have some extra time. Especially temple resident may have some extra time, so we may not be reading properly. Now take the opportunity. Devotees many are working from home. So one is actually saving time for commuting. Extra time. Use that time for some chanting and reading. And see how one can make progress. So we have to take our opportunity. And if you don't have opportunities for preaching, we can do some online preaching. So there are always some means to develop ourselves and to share Krishna consciousness. So we had to take that opportunity, especially after coming to Krishna consciousness and at this point in time. We don't know about tomorrow, so today we have time. Use it in Krishna service. So here, that's why Prabhupada comes to the point of the entanglement in this material world. Quotes Bhaktivinoda Thakur, "My dear living entities, you are being carried away by the waves of material nature. Sometimes you are on the surface, sometimes you are being drowned. Aquatics or living entities who are living on the earth, on the surface. But whatever living entities, they are all living based on principle of attachment." We remember this past time where Srila Prabhupada along with his disciples were walking. They were walking in botanical garden. And there was a tree, and there was a lot of stools lying under the tree. So, and there was a nest on top of the tree. So Prabhupada asked all his disciples, "What does this mean?" So everyone started speaking about so many things, you know. So many hi-fi philosophies, explaining this, that. Prabhupada said, "Stop it, no. This means attachment. When the bird is attached to this nest and sitting there all the time and then passing the stool here, it shows attachment." This is Prabhupada, he's so attachment. There's a family attachment as it is mentioned, you know, here. Sudakshetra jana, you know, janasya mohoyam ahammameti sutapta vittaya. You know, one after another, so many different things. And it is, one can be in any situation, one can develop attachment. Any situation. There is no scarcity, anything one can be attached to. So, it is mentioned, one has to Take progressive Krishna conscious steps. Because Krishna is the real well-wisher. He's a real well-wisher. He's waiting. When such and such devotee, Das or Dasi is going to look at me. When he's going to think about me really. When he's going to chant properly. When he really develops the desire that he has to perfect the life or she has to perfect the life and come back home, back to Godhead. The Lord is looking. In the pastime of Gopakumar, as mentioned in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when Gopakumar reaches Vaikuntha, the Lord comes out. He comes and he embraces and he says, I have been waiting for you for so many lifetimes. I thought in that life, finally he will make it. But nothing happened. Like, you know, one time, get in touch with the devotees, started chanting and blooped in 1 month. The Lord is thinking, this lifetime he would have come, but didn't happen. Next lifetime, came up to a stage, I hung around with the devotees for a couple of years. The Lord is thinking, okay, this lifetime, this devotee has come to me. But nothing happened, blooped, never came back. Next lifetime, got initiated. So the Lord was very happy, got initiated, okay, he will come back to me. What happened? After some time, something happened, left. Next lifetime, okay, now this time took Brahmin initiation also. Became more steady in Krishna consciousness. The Lord is waiting. Okay, this lifetime finally this devotee is going to come to me. But this lifetime also, something happened, left. So the Lord is waiting. And he said, I was waiting for so many lifetimes. One lifetime at least you will come to me. Think about the patience of the Supreme Lord. So he's ever well-wisher. You are ever well-wisher, Srila Prabhupada writes. Such an elevated spiritual master. The Lord is the same. He's ever well-wisher. He's waiting. And finally the Lord said, I personally had to come as your spiritual master, as the Brahmana. And I had to instruct you and I had to take you back. The same lifetime. So this is the Lord's position. The Lord is waiting for everyone. All the living entities. Including the virus, including the corona. The Lord is waiting. When this living entity is coming to me? The Lord has such patience. Eternally He is waiting for everyone. So now, considering the Lord's merciful nature, we need to think, we had to do something about it. We had to go back. We had to be a little bit serious in our Krishna consciousness. We had to think about Krishna. So yes, take this opportunity seriously. I had to take myself. We all have to take seriously. Then, the more we invest, we can see that we are getting better in our situation. We are out of trouble more and more. If mind is absorbed in Krishna, it's much easier. Life is much easier. No matter what our problems we have. So, there is a reward. Instantly, there is a reward. In the 10th canto, in the first chapter, Prabhupada writes a very interesting point that the Lord wants to reciprocate very fast. He actually reciprocates very fast. He wants to reciprocate very fast if one but take full shelter of the Lord. And the idea of the Lord is that if one takes shelter of Krishna immediately and Krishna reciprocates and the Lord keep doing that all the time. As we take shelter of Krishna, it's not just an instantaneous process, but it's a continuous process. And the Lord starts reciprocating. And then what happens is, when we are about to leave this world, the devotee actually feels very obliged to think about Krishna. Krishna has done so much for me. And one actually naturally thinks about Krishna. So Prabhupada writes, this is one of the principles of bhakti. The Lord wants to reciprocate and a devotee feel very obliged to Krishna, very grateful for Krishna. Then, when one is leaving the world, one thinks about Krishna. So that is the mercy of the Lord. Like Parikshit Maharaj, he has been protected even when he was in the womb of his mother. So he is known as Vishnuratha. And then, throughout his life, he has been protected by the Lord. And when it was the time for him to leave the world, when he got cursed by Sringi Brahman, he didn't think about anything else. He thought, the Lord has protected me so much. Now it is the time for me to leave this world. So let me simply focus on Krishna alone. So the Lord also wants his devotees to go back to him. Okay, stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes.
Prabhu, thank you. It was a beautiful class. Like you mentioned how we have to take this opportunity and really do serious Krishna consciousness. So, like my fear or my thought is, at the moment we are members inside, and at the moment we are members who are inside this temple, and
yeah.
There's people outside. Like it's quite possible that we will have outside one day and then we'll be inside, you know? Like we'll be in that position as
yeah.
well. So like what I understand is by developing ruchi or taste, one can like survive in that situation, and we all end up in a situation where we think who's our friend here, and you said Bhagavatam. So but my question is, by developing that taste, like how long is it going to sustain us? Is it like, is that the kind of taste that will sustain us for like in the next period? Is that what we have to develop, that kind of taste?
We will not be able to. So the question is, what kind of taste can sustain us
yeah.
in our Krishna consciousness? Because we can, we are inside the temple. We may be a devotee tomorrow. One could go out as well. One could stop Krishna consciousness. Unfortunately, could happen. So, what kind of taste can sustain us? So that's the question. The development of taste is progressive. So we have to add to our bank account on a daily basis. So it is not a one-time process. So it takes constant endeavor. Just like if somebody is trying to accumulate money, it's a constant endeavor. Making some money, putting in the bank account, and it is increasing slowly and steadily. In the same way, bhakti account or the ruchi account is also in the same fashion. We had to invest and we had to keep going. So there is no end to end. It's an eternal process. Bhakti is an eternal process. So, the development of ruchi is also an eternal process. Because it can go on unlimitedly. There is no end to it. So, even in the spiritual world, devotees are developing. They already have perfect taste for Krishna, Krishna consciousness. And their taste is increasing forever. So, there is no end to it. Okay.
From last statement,
yeah.
So we are captivated in this body. So therefore, all the activities, arrangements, so things, so many things happen in this world, are simply towards who will own or access or use how much natural resource. That's all finally.
Yes, that's a good comment. That because of bodily identification, for bodily enjoyment, it's all based on exploiting the natural resources, and the more one has, one thinks one is doing better, and there's no end to it.
What did Gopa Kumar do so that Krishna personally came to pick him up?
Not mentioned.
Must have done something really amazing.
So this is costless mercy. The Lord's mercy is costless. So we are here. We also got some costless mercy. That's why we're sitting here now. It's not that we were qualified. Even if we had some qualification from our previous life, that qualification is also given by the Lord and the devotees. It's not that we were, say, one can say, okay, I'm sitting here because of my Agyada Sukriti. Yes, fine, but where that came from? So we cannot really say that it is coming from me. So there we can understand what is meant by costless. We got it, that's all. It's costless.
Prabhu, birth, death, old age and disease are the four problems in this material world. So like when we preach to someone, how do we explain that?
It's very easy. Especially now it's the best time to talk about vyadhi, about the diseases. People can relate to it at this point. The more problems are there, people can at least relate to it. Then they forget. Who talks about bushfire now? Anyone remembers about bushfire? It's a closed chapter. Similarly, this one also, after some time this becomes a closed chapter. It's just a matter of time. So, one can remind. That is one thing. Second, people go through problems in different levels. Not necessarily disease as we think what the disease is going on. But suffering is there in this world for most of the people in different levels. Whether here or what part of the world you go, you can see suffering. And if we address those issues, people do reciprocate. People see, yes, they are speaking something which is relevant to my life. For everyone.
So like
we cannot just say, if you just say Janma Vrithi Jara Vyadhi as a blanket statement, as the only statement, people may not be able to relate or appreciate. But if you try to address the problem they are going through, oh, and there's a solution for that, then they think, okay, it makes sense. These people are trying to solve my problems. So we had to derive the problems, what people are going through at this point, from the full set of problems. We cannot directly address the main problem and just leave it at that. Now disease, you can speak openly. Sometimes it can be about stress. It can be about the problems in the relationship. It can be problem with the resources. It can be the environment in general. It can be anything. So there are problems in so many different levels. There are unlimited problems. And people have those problems. And if we relate to them on that basis, then they become open to it. Makes sense, but not necessarily directly. Krishna says there's four things, I'll just keep repeating the same thing. That doesn't work. It has to be relatable. Okay. Thank you. Grantrashim Bhagavatam ki jai Shila Prabhupada ki jai Sai Gaur Premande Hari Ho.